Okay, this is the Shir Le'ilui Nishmosim Ephraim Shmuel Ben Avram Aryeh HaKohen and Chaya Tova Bas Eliezer Mendel HaKohen on the book of Yechezkel. We're currently holding in chapter 12, verse 21. We stopped off at a very convenient place last week because in verses 21, 22, we come to the final sections of this chapter. The final two sections, as we'll see in a second. We'll start off with verses 21 and 22, and the Malbim will explain exactly how the rest of the chapter is split up. So verse 21 says, Vayhi Divar Hashem Elai Le'emor. Yechezkel says, another prophecy. It's one of many in this chapter. Ben Adam, verse 22. Ma Hamoshel Hazeh Lochem. What is this moshel? We'll see what the word means, moshel here. Normally it means proverb or parable. Moha moshel azeloche. What is this moshel? This moshel that is theirs, or that is yours, al admas Yisrael, that is spoken about in the land of Israel. Lamar, when they say, Yarchu hayomim v'ovad kol chazor. The longer the days draw on, all the prophecy will be lost. All the prophecy will come to nothing. So exactly what's going on here. So the Malbim gives us an insight into the next two sections of this chapter. He says here, Hine bo al hanovi shtei devoros. Yechezkel will now receive two further prophecies to finish off this chapter. Hadibor harishon, le'umashiu omrim shdibor hanovi lo siskayim klal. The first prophecy concerns itself with the attitude of some of the Jews of Yerushalayim, remember we're 5 years from the destruction of Jerusalem. The first prophecy concerns itself with the attitude of some of the Jews that live in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, who are of the opinion that the warnings of the prophet will never occur. And that will cover verses 21 to 25, including God's response to that attitude. V'hoyu mamshilim devorav al divrei hachozim b'kol chovim sheo b'telim b'rabos hayomim. And these Jews who said that the warnings of the prophets will never occur, are basing their opinion on their own mashalim, their own parables, their own interpretation. This is the way the Malbim reads the word moshal here. It doesn't read it as a parable, rather as an interpretation. Their interpretation of how prophecy works in accordance with their experience of the predictions of the astrologers. Now, the Malbim says that the astrologers make predictions that eventually become voided with the passage of an extended period of time. And he says, bear in mind some of the words of the prophets that had predicted the destruction of Yehuda and Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash are already hundreds of years old. So the Malbim is saying that the word moshel here doesn't mean a parable or proverb. It's a comparative. They're comparing the words of the God's prophets to the words of astrologers. Now, the words of the astrologers sometimes come true. Sometimes they don't. The longer it goes on, the less likely they are to come true. And if they go on for hundreds of years, you can be guaranteed that they're not going to come true. And that's the mistake that they're making. So that's what this first section is about, verses 21 to 25. He says, Via Dibor Hasheni, the second prophecy, which covers verses 26 to 28. Le'umas mashiyu omrim al kol ponim lo yiskaimu b'mehera rak liyomim rabim. That second prophecy, verses 26 to 28, deals with the attitude of some other Jews in Yerushalayim who are of the opinion that the warnings of the prophets will occur, but that they will happen so far into the future that the current inhabitants of Yerushalayim have got nothing to worry about, and therefore we shouldn't be concerned about the words of the prophets because we'll be dead when the words of the prophets are fulfilled. And again, God's response to that attitude. So we've got two attitudes. We've got people in Yerushalayim that think, the sell-by date on these prophecies is out of date, never going to happen. And another group will say, yeah, it will happen, but we'll be long dead by the time it does. So again, absolutely nothing to worry about. So those are the two prophecies that are coming up. So we'll deal with the first one first. But the Malbim says here, in this verse, and the message that Zechariah is trying to get over here, is this. We as Jews believe in the concept, the power of astrology, not today's astrology that you see in the newspapers, or you see at the fairgrounds or reading the newspapers, all of which are the work of charlatans. But we know that, we know from the Torah, and we know from the Gemara, that to a certain extent, a person's mazel can be garnered from the stars. After all, as is pointed out by quite a few mafarshim here, we still say mazel tov to people at weddings and bar mitzvahs, right? We still say mazel tov. What are you saying mazel tov for? You should have good mazel, right? What's that all about? So, there is a concept within Judaism that there is some type of astrology that actually has got some credence to it, hence the idea of mazel tov, that it should be a good, we say when a baby is born, we find out somebody's pregnant, we say the b'sha'ah tova, it should be a good moment. Like, what does that mean? Like, a good moment. A good moment for whom? So we have this concept within Judaism, there is some type of astrological power, and so the Malbim says this celebration of yours in Yerushalayim that's based on the fact that the astrologers predict certain things, and sometimes they come true, sometimes they don't, and the longer you leave it, it means it's not going to come true. So there's a celebratory mood in Yerushalayim that they think that the words of God's prophets are exactly the same as the words of an astrologer. And if you've had a prophecy 200 years ago and it's not been fulfilled today, so forget about it. But says the Malbim, there's a big difference between the prediction of an astrologer, even if he has got some type of insight, and the prophecy of a Jewish prophet. Astrological predictions have limits. They are dependent. And they are dependent on the time that specific stars are aligned with each other. These are the words of the Malbim, by the way. He's basing his language here on the words of the Gemara at the end of Shabbos. The Gemara at the end of Shabbos, you can look it up on Kufn and Vav, Kufn and Zion, page 156, 157, where the Gemara discusses this in great detail. Yesh mazel b'Yisrael, is that this type of mazel it, among the Jewish people, Ein Mazel b'Yisrael. Gemara has a long discussion about it there. But the Malbim points out here, there's a big difference between the prediction of the astrologers and the prophecy of Jewish prophets. Astrological predictions have limits. They are dependent, and they are dependent on the time that specific stars are aligned with each other. The event predicted will only happen at the time that these specific celestial bodies are aligned. Once those celestial bodies are out of sync with each other, there is a recognition that the astrological prediction will no longer be valid. For an example, if an astrologer predicts an earthquake will take place this week based on his astrological charts, and a month later there's been no earthquake, everyone, including the astrologer himself, realizes that since the stars have moved significantly since the time of that first prediction, and the astrological charts are now different, then the earthquake prediction can be put in the bin. True prophecy is not like that, says the Malbim. It is not dependent on anything other than your reaction to the prophecy. And so once a prophet has made a prediction about the future, in this case, we are talking about a multitude of negative predictions over a period of hundreds of years, nothing can prevent the dark events coming to fruition apart from teshuva. That's the only thing that can prevent them. Time is irrelevant. The only thing that can prevent these prophecies from coming to fruition is teshuva. And what Yechezkel here is saying, what Yechezkel is saying here about the Jews of Yerushalayim is this. If you look at the verse, he actually makes this point. Ma ha-moshel hazeh lochem. What a foolish mistake these Jews in Yerushalayim are making. They think there's a parallel between the words of the astrologers and the words of the prophet. And if a long period of time elapses after a prophecy and nothing happened, then we can ignore it in the same way we can ignore astrological predictions. If a long period of time elapses and the events predicted do not come to fruition. It should be noted that according to the Malbim, the word moshel here is not meant to be taken in its literal sense. He makes it very clear that this is not, the word here is not a parable or a proverb. It should be understood as learning a parable, interpreting, learning a parallel or interpreting similarly. That's the way he describes the word moshel here. Learning a parallel or interpreting similarly. So the Yecheskel complains here, Ma ha-moshel hazeh lochem. How can you fools draw a parallel from the predictions of astrologers and the divine message passed to you by a prophet? So that's what God's saying here. That's what Yecheskel's saying. Ma ha-moshel hazeh lochem al admas Yisrael. What a bunch of fools you are to draw a parallel between the words of the astrologers and the words of the prophet here in the land of Israel. Lema, when they tell you or when you work out, Yarichu hayomin v'ovad kol chazor, that when time, when the sell-by date of the prophecy is up, the prophecy itself is, you can put the prophecy itself in the dustbin. That's the foolish mistake they're making. And so that's the first complaint. Not a complaint, that's the observation here by the Malbim, and that's the observation here by Yechezkel, prophecy here by Yechezkel, that there's a group in Yerushalayim that they basically have said it's been so long since the prophecies that you can forget about them, they're not going to take place. That's the opinion of the Malbim. The Radak, he has a similar message to the Malbim, but substitutes the Malbim's astrologers for false prophets. In other words, he said the Jews in Yerushalayim, it was a very profitable business. Prophecy is a very profitable business, still is today. Even if you look in the newspapers, you'll still see today, you know, in the red tops, in the less salubrious newspapers, even in the more salubrious newspapers, you'll see astrological charts, right? You know, Aquarius and Gemini and the Taurus. You can look at what's going to happen to you today. Now, if you think about it carefully, you know, it's nonsensical, right? There's over 8 billion people in the world. And so, you know, and so if you divide that by 12, you get like 750 million people. So for each mazel, for each constellation. So, you know, you read it, you know, you're going to meet someone unexpected today. That's what the astrologer says. And people read this nonsense, right? So 750 million people around the world are going to meet somebody unexpected today. The Radak says it's not talking about astrologers. The Yechezkel is talking about false prophets, which was very prominent in Yerushalayim at this time, very profitable business. And Radak says that the Jews of Yerushalayim knew deep down that they were in trouble, but chose to listen to the optimism and the optimistic predictions, the mashalim, the proverbs, the parables of the false prophets. And they were the one, he translates the word moshel here as it should be, as we normally translate it, as proverbs or parables. So there was plenty of false prophets in Yerushalayim, and they were giving parables and proverbs to explain that everyone's going to be perfectly safe inside Yerushalayim, nothing's going to get through the walls of Yerushalayim, and everybody wants to accept that. People were prepared to accept that rather than ponder the dark words of the actual prophets. And so the false prophets assured them that all the prophecies from the prophets had passed their sell-by date. It was too late in the day. They hadn't happened and they're never going to happen. And people grabbed onto that. So that's two ways of looking at this word moshel and what was going on in Yerushalayim. And people thought that, you know, too late shall be the cry. These prophecies are hundreds of years old. They're never going to happen. Now, Rav Moshe Eisenman, who writes, he's a musmach of Gateshead Yeshiva and Lakewood Yeshiva and Nei Yisrael in Baltimore. And he wrote the commentary to Yecheskel for Art Scroll. I'm not normally a big fan of Art Scroll, but I do read it, especially if I'm giving a shiur on the subject matter of a book of Tanakh, and they've got a book on it. So, and you might have noticed I've not quoted them too often in this series, in 100 and odd shiurim. But he makes a very, very interesting observation here about a particular phrase in this verse. And so I'll say it over to you. I think it's very interesting what he says, and we'll come back to it much later on Something he says here rang a bell with me, and it's something I'm going to dwell on at the end of this chapter. He says as follows. It says at the end of this verse that the attitude of the people in Yerushalayim was Yarchu Hayomim V'Ovad Kol Chazar. That the attitude of the Jews in Yerushalayim, that the days have drawn on or will draw on, and all the prophecies that we've been given will be lost, they'll come to nothing. And that was the attitude of the Jews in Yerushalayim. They felt secure in the fact that after 200 years, 300 years, Yeshayahu had already been dead over 100 years, Hosea was dead, Amos was dead, all these prophets that had predicted terrible calamities striking Yerushalayim, they're all dead, and so the prophecies are all dead as well. That was our attitude. So Rav Moshe Eisenman points out in Parashas Toldos, in Bereishis, we've got a similar expression regarding Yitzchak. Now Yitzchak and his wife, they went to the land of the Plishtim, and they had an interaction with the king of the Philistines called Abimelech. And similar to his father, when they entered the land of the Plishtim, the land of the Philistines, they lied, or he lied, about the fact that Rivka was his wife, and he made out that Rivka was his sister. And the Pasuk says there, he quotes a Pasuk here from Bereishis in chapter 26, verses 8 and 9. He says, it's almost exactly the same language as Yechezkel uses here. It says there, "Vayehi ki orchu lo shom hayomim," and it was when Yitzchak had been there for many days. "Vayashkef Abimelech melech Pelishtim," Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, "ba'ad hachalon," he was looking out the window. "Vayar," and he saw "vehinei Yitzchak mitzachek es Rivka ishta," and he saw Yitzchak was having fun with his wife Rivka. Now, obviously, at that point, he realized that Rivka wasn't his sister from what he saw. Now, the Torah is not trying to make out there that Abimelech is a peeping Tom. It just seemed to happen that he was looking in the right direction and the window was open, and he saw that Yitzchak, what he saw was that it couldn't possibly be that Yitzchak and Rivka were brother and sister because of what he saw. He saw them, it says, "Hinei Yitzchak mitzachek es Rivka." He was entertaining Rivka, and then he realized it was his wife. "Vayikra Abimelech liYitzchak." So Abimelech, the king, the Philistine king, called him Yitzchak, and he said to him like this, "Vayama, eich hinei eshtechohu, v'eich omarti achos liyu." Hey, how could you have lied to me? How could you have said she's my sister? She's your wife. "Vayomer elav Yitzchak." So Yitzchak said to him, "Ki omarti pen omos aleho." Said, I rationalized to myself, you know, I'd rather not die because of my marriage to her. In other words, I felt that, you know, if I'd have told you she was my wife, you might have killed me and married her. So in this section, in Bereishis, starts off with the language, "Vayehi orchu lo shom hayomim." It was when Yitzchak had been there for many days. Now, Rabbi Eisenman here points out that the expression "orchu lo shom hayomim," when Yitzchak had been there for many days, implies complacency. Very interesting observation. In other words, what he's saying is, when Yitzchak and Rivka first arrived in the land of the Plishtim, and they lied, and they said they were brother and sister rather than husband and wife, from that moment on, they were very, very careful in the way they interacted with each other so as not to give the game away, obviously. Because if Yitzchak felt that his life would be in danger if he told the truth, then you can be certain that from the moment he lied and said it was his sister, they were very careful how they interacted with each other. But says Rav Eisenman, what you see from this story, when the Pasuk says, "Orchu lo shom hayomin," as time went by, however, and they realized, as people do, they seem to have got away with it. They seem to have got away with the lie. Like most people, they figured that the secret would never be discovered. And they began to get sloppy and eventually became complacent until eventually they did something. Although it was seemingly to them they were doing it in private, that gave them away, as the verse says quite clearly, that Vayashkech Abimelech Melech Plishtim Ba'alach Alon, Abimelech just happened to be looking through the window, Vayar, you know, Yitzchok Masakik Ezrivka Ishta, and he saw what was going on by accident. Now, that would never have happened the first week they were there, the first month they were there, the first 2 months they were there. They would have made sure if they were going into the bedroom to do something, that all the windows would be covered up and everything would, there'd be no chance of anyone seeing. But the more you go on, the point Rabbi Eisenman is making is the more time that goes on and you're getting away with it, the more complacent you become. And the more, the greater the likelihood is that you're going to get found out because of your own, not because you're going to give the game away yourself, but you're going to become complacent with the fact that you got away with it up till now. And said Rav Eisenman, he makes an interesting point here, a very interesting point. He says the same thing happened to the Jews of Yerushalayim. When the dark prophecies of multiple prophets were first delivered, the people were shocked and they were frightened to the very core. But as time went on, as Yecheskel says here, almost exactly the same language as describes Yitzchak. Yarchu hayomim va'aved kol chazar. The longer the days draw on, all the prophecy comes to nothing. The people became complacent. They heard a terrible prophecy from Yeshayahu that the Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. So for a few months, it was terrible. And they were shaking in their boots. But 100 years later, everyone had forgotten that original fear and made the same mistake Yitzchok and Rivka made. Since it had been so long already, since those early dark prophecies, they thought that nothing bad could happen to them now, and they became complacent. So, if you'd gone to the Jews of Yerushalayim, a month, 2 weeks, a month, even a year after one of the dark prophecies of Yeshayahu or Amos or Hosea or Yirmiah, so you'd see that they'll still be shaking in their boots. But 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, 100 years later, and it's not happened yet, so you become complacent and it's not immediate. And he makes this point that's what Yecheskel is trying to make out here, that Yarchu Hayomim Va'abed Kol Chazor, that the people became complacent to the fact that they got away with it so far, just like Yitzchak and Rivka had got away with it so far, but there's a limit. There's a limit you become sloppy, and there's a point at which point you don't get away with it. And that's the point that Yecheskel is going to make. That's the point that God's going to make to them shortly. So that there's various ways to read this verse, and whichever way you read this verse, like the Malbim, that the people of Yerushalayim dismiss the words of the prophets as being old hat, or that they dismiss the words of the prophets as in the same way that they dismiss the words of the astrologers, or that, like the Radak says, that it's easier to listen to the optimism of false prophets that tell you you're safe than to listen to the old never-ending doom and gloom of God's prophets. Or whether you take Rabbi Eisenman's view that the Jews just became complacent. Whichever way you look at it, the Jews, there was a sizable section of the Jews of Yerushalayim that felt that these prophecies are never going to happen. They've run out, they're beyond their sell-by date. Either they're complacent or there's a time limit to these prophecies, whatever it is, or it's just not going to happen. And God's not going to make good on these threats. So irrespective of which approach you take, irrespective of that, God's response is unmistakable. So in verse 23, you hear God's response to this attitude. The attitude that these prophecies are done and dusted, they're in the bin, bring us some better prophecies. Lochein, Emor Aleihem, God says, therefore, he tells Yecheskel, you tell them, Koma Hashem Elokim. This is what God says. Hishbati es ha-moshel hazeh. I have destroyed, abolished this moshel, this parallel. V'lo yimshalu oso od b'Yisrael. And you will not, no longer be allowed to use it as a proverb, as a moshul, as a parallel in Israel. Ki im diber aleihem korvu hayomim udvar kol chozo. Be told, tell them, says God to Yechezkel. Tell them, the days are drawing near, and so will the word of every prophecy come true. Like, not only are these prophecies not gone beyond their sell by date, and you can put them in the dustbin, but that number one, they're going to take place very shortly. And number two, every word of what every prophet has said will come true. So God's answer here is aimed at the Jews of Yerushalayim, really, who base their rationale that the old warnings of the prophets are now out of date, based on their own Masholim, as the Malbim said, their own experience, their own parallels of how the predictions of the false prophets or the predictions of the astrologers work. And as we said before, predictions that are eventually voided with the passage of extended period of time. So the Malbim says here, God's response, Lochein, Omar Aleihem, Lochein Emar Aleihem, Kama Hashem, he says. God says, I've abolished the Moshel, Hishbati Es HaMoshel. What does that mean? Says the Malbim, Shelo Yimshlu HaMoshel Azeh, Af Lepi Shetosom She'inyan Toli B'Mareches. You, delusional people, it's delusional for you, Jews, to infer, make a parallel from the words of astrologers to the words of God's prophets, that their fate can be decided by the stars or by the star charts, number one. Number two, below Yimshalu Od, also Od be Israel. The parallel doesn't work for Jews because She'af Yitzdak HaMoshel Hazer Ba'akum, despite the fact that the fate of pagans and pagan nations can and are affected by astrological predictions, Tachas HaMarocha, Einat Tzadik B'Yisrael, She'enem Tachas HaMarocha. When it comes to the Jews, he says, and he quotes the end of the Gemara here in Shabbos, the end of the Gemara, Ein Mazel B'Yisrael. Jews as a corporate body are unaffected by the stars. Consequently, says the Malbi, you can expect two things. Number one, Ki im diber aleihem korbo ayomim. Number one, the dire predictions of the prophets are almost upon you, irrespective of how long ago these prophecies were given. And number two, Udabar kol chazon. Everything that the prophets said, not the prophet, the prophets, everything that they said, all of them, will come true with no omissions and no discounts. And this is God in his diatribe. And the diatribe continues in verse 24. Ki lo yeh o kol chazon shor, for there will never again be any false prophecy. U maksem cholok basok beis Yisrael, or shallow magic within the house of Israel. So he says, furthermore, God says, as he continues his diatribe, as the Malbim adds here, and all the other commentators say, God tells the Jews of Yerushalayim, neither the black magic performed by wise men or magicians in Yerushalayim or any other generation, or the powerful predictions of your own false prophets designed to assure you of your safety can possibly save you from what is coming. Nothing these people say has ever affected your fate in the past, nor will they ever do so in the future. You are my people under my personal providence. And that is God's diatribe. And he says, as a result of you being mine, I own you. He says, the pagan nations of the world have got a sire. They've got an angel that looks after them. They can be judged maybe by astrological charts. The fate of the Jewish people is under my direct purview, says God. And therefore, verse 25, Ki ani Hashem adaber, Eis asher adaber dovor v'yeoseh. So whenever I speak, and the language here, very, very hard to understand, to pick it up. He says, Ki ani Hashem adaber, when I speak, meaning when I speak in prophecy, Eis Asher Adaber, whatever I give over in prophecy, Dovar V'yeyoseh, as I deliver it, it's as if it is already done. Lo Timoshach O Ki B'Yemeichem Beis Hameri. The word, the prophecy, shall be fulfilled without any further delay in your days, you rebellious house. Adaber Dovar, my language, my words, not literally God speaking, God giving prophecy. Adaber Dovar, when I give over prophecy, when I express my will, Va'asi Siv, it is done. Ne'om Hashem Elokim, says God. Right, a very angry tone. And as the Malvin points out, this is a very, just look at the amount of times you got the word, the root of the word ledaber in this sentence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 times. And on each occasion, it's referring to God speaking in the sense of prophecy and his will. And the point he's making here, this is a very, very important pasuk in the context of prophecy, how we understand prophecy. And the Malbim gives us an insight. There's a lot been written on this verse, but I don't want to spend too much time on it because we've dealt with a lot of these issues before. But the Malbim makes a very, very important point here. It gives an insight from here into the difference between an astrologer's prediction and a prophecy from God, and the difference between God merely warning about an evil decree that is pending and when it actually becomes set in stone. There's a big difference between an evil decree and when it becomes set in stone. And there's a big difference, obviously, between the words of an astrologer and the words of God in prophecy. So the Malbim works through this verse beautifully. It absolutely gives you an insight into the way God works here. He says, Ki ani Hashem adaber. That's how it starts. I God speak. Speaking in terms of God speaking to a prophet, which is not verbal speech. It's God's will being expressed either as an audio message or as a video message or a combination of the two. It's an expression of God's will. Ki yodu she'anavuahi rak me'ashem. The most important message of this verse, says the Malbim, is that true prophecy comes only to the prophet by direct contact with God. And the contact with God comes in God's realm, not in this realm. Rak me'ashem al yidei hashkocho ha'ishiyis ha'bilti niksheres im azman v'hateva u'mesova ve'ho. Just what he says here. This part of the personal providence of God over the Jewish people, it's not limited by time, nature, or the physical world, or the physical universe. So that, v'yesh hevdel ben dvar hachoza b'kochovim, there's a huge difference between what the stargazers observe, u'ben dvar hatzofa b'ruach Elohim, and what the prophets of God see through prophecy. Shahachoza b'kochovim yagid ma shemechuyev lufi seda hamaracha lehishtalshel mimatzav hakochovim shiyeh bizman ploni. Astrologers will tell you something that is supposedly bound to happen based on the position, the confluence of stars at a certain moment in time. Shiyamad kochov ploni neged ploni. The astrologer sees the convergence of different specific celestial bodies, but matzav eva v'chuyav mimenu kach v'kach, and divines from that a chart, and he works out that certain events will unfold in a particular order. But says the Malbim, v'yuchal liyo shachoza lo yad hashah toldos. The problem with the astrologer is that it could be that the astrologer does not see other factors connected to this particular celestial alignment, and he would therefore misinterpret the reason for this configuration. And there's plenty of things that he can't see that are going on, not in the physical world, behind the physical world, in the spiritual world. that could change the nature of what he's saying if he had access to them. Alternatively, the astrologer is a human being, and he could be making a mistake in the timing of what he sees. Forecasting an event will occur tomorrow that won't happen for centuries, and vice versa. He says the Malbim, Aval HaNovi, but the Novi, the prophet, B'Shem Hashem, who's speaking in the name of God, when he says that God decreed to bring an evil decree at such and such a time, that does not mean that the evil event is bound to come, number one, or that it's bound to come at a particular time, and that he's nailing, so to speak, his colors to the mast, that the result will come exactly when he says it will come, as the astrologers do. Because a prophecy of evil can always be reversed if the people do teshuvah. The prophet is only committing to the fact that at this moment in time, a decree of evil, of punishment, has been decreed in heaven. A dark decree of prophecy from God is the catalyst that enables the potential for that evil decree to become a reality. In other words, God's will creates the reality. What the astrologers see is a physical representation of something that might be. When God makes a decree, that decree is already set in stone. The reality is, it's a mice already. It's a prophecy, but it actually exists already. But it can be reversed by teshuvah. Hamevi esara al hamatzius. When God decides to enact an evil decree, it becomes an actuality. That becomes the reality of the universe. God speaks to the prophet again after this, and then confirms that this evil decree has now been rubber stamped. And at that point, that particular evil decree will take place. Nothing can stop it. So now, when God utters these words of his will to the prophet, this event will happen at this moment. God's actual words to the prophet, God's will that the prophet hears, either as an expression, a verbal, as a audio, or as a video, or whatever, whichever way he hears it, when God utters those words, it's going to happen tomorrow. The fulfillment of that decree has already taken place. God is not limited by time, by space, by the physical universe. That event has already taken place. From our perspective, it hasn't taken place yet. Irrelevant. From the perspective of God's will, when God commits to it, it's already taken place. It's just a question of us waiting for it to happen. And I'll just give you maybe an insight into that. If we look up at the sun, you see the sun, right? You see the sun. The reality is you don't see the sun at all. You're seeing the sun as it was 8 minutes ago. It takes 8 minutes for the light of the sun to reach the earth. So if say, God forbid, the sun exploded this second, we would carry on for 8 minutes. The event would not affect us for 8 minutes. Even though the sun has already exploded, we, for the next 8 minutes, we wouldn't see it. We would see the sun still shining for another 8 minutes, even though in the context of real time, it's already exploded. And that's pretty much a parallel to the way God works. Lahavdil, God, it's the sun and us are in the physical world. But God, in a spiritual world, when God says this A, B, and C are going to happen tomorrow, A, B, and C have already happened. It's just that we haven't seen it yet. Just like when we look up the sun, what we're seeing is something that how the sun was 8 minutes ago. We have to wait. We have a gap in waiting for an event to happen. If, from God's perspective, the event has already taken place. V'zeh, says Imalbim, v'zeh eino tolui b'shum sibo efsharius hashinui, ki rotzon Hashem lo yishtana. And he says, when God gives, wakes up, so that you have to understand, when God sends a prophet, a prophecy of a decree, so that can be set aside. When God said it's going to, gives the second indication that that prophecy is now set in stone and it will take place tomorrow, next week, next year, at that point, it's as if it's already taken place. Says the Malbim, and unlike astrology, the fulfillment of a decree from God does not be, depend on any possible change in circumstance anywhere in the universe. Because from the moment that God willed it, it has already happened. V'zeh she'omer, and that's what this pasuk means. Ki ani Hashem adaber es asher adaber. I will say what I will say, meaning, ani adaber el anovi, I will tell the Novi, v'odia oso es asher adaber, and he'll tell you what I have said, bizman ploni, regarding a particular moment, v'es asher egzar, oz, v'hadibro atzmo shadaber oz yeh hamaseh. By the time he's told you what's going to happen, from God's perspective, it's already happened. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it to prevent it from happening. V'zeh she'omer, es asher adaber dovar v'yeh oseh. That's why the verse says, after the language of prophecy, adaber dovar, I will speak my prophet, prophetic words, v'yeh oseh. It's already done. She'al yidei hadibur yeh oseh. God's words actually creating a physical event. Umimela lo timshach od ki ein shum sibo she'yake biyad Hashem. When this takes place, nothing can hold back the decree from being realized immediately. She'hagam she'lepo'omim ye'akev Hashem esagzera umarech af v'lo yidaba dova hagzera ulo yeshuva ombet yeshuva. In other circumstances, as we mentioned earlier, a divine decree can be postponed or delayed or even withdrawn completely because of the teshuva of the people. Avol b'yemeichem beis hameri. But you, says God, you people that think my prophecies are all out of date, you rebellious house, she'ein tikva she'toshuva b'teshuva. The rebellion of the you Jewish people has been going on so long that there's no hope of you people doing teshuva. Ki nismale hasar, the basket of transgressions is completely full. And therefore, adaba dova va'asisir. So God says, these are my last words on the subject. Adaba dovar, I have spoken va'asisir, and it's already done. The only difference between me and you is from my perspective, says God, the whole of Yushalayim is already a burnt out cinder. From your perspective, you just haven't seen it yet. You just haven't experienced it yet. But it's already happened. In the context of my realm, in the context of me, God, I'm unaffected by time and space. I have spoken this decree. I have rubber stamped this decree. From my perspective, Yerushalayim is a ruin and everybody's already in exile. I have spoken my words and my will. Instantaneously, it became an action. And just like you looking at the sun, I'll give that analogy again. What you're seeing is how the sun was 8 minutes ago. There's a time lag because of the speed of light. There's a time lag because of the speed of God. The only difference between you and me, says God, is the speed. Well, not the only difference. That's incorrect language. But the difference between you and me is when I say something, it's already happened. It's just a question of you in the physical world catching up. It's already taken place. So that's the anger. That's the diatribe of God. So at this point, the language of Yechezkel to these people in Yerushalayim that said that these prophecies are out of date, they're never going to happen, it's 200 years old. God says, right, Now, it's going to happen now, and you might have to wait 5 years, but from my perspective, it's already happened. Yerushalayim's already a burnt out cinder. The land is shomema, the land is desolate, the people are already in exile from my perspective. It's asisiv, it's already done. So that is the first of these two prophecies at the end of this chapter. Now, as the Malbim points out, now we come to the second prophecy at the end of this chapter. And again, God has just angrily addressed the Jews in Yerushalayim with the attitude that the warnings of the prophets will never occur. And they, you know, they prefer to rely on the astrologers, the false prophets, that, or as Rabbi Eisenman said, they're just complacent because it's taken so long. And God's given them a very stern, that's it. It's already happened. Bye-bye. I think the expression is dead man walking. You're just dead man walking. You're dead, you just don't know it yet. Now, says the Malbim, God addresses the attitude of some of the Jews of Yerushalayim, another group in Yerushalayim, who actually accept that the warnings of the prophets will actually result in suffering, but they will only be actualized so far into the future. You know, it's been 200 years. Who's to say it's, you know, we accept the words of the Jewish prophets that they're going to take place, and we deserve it. You know, we've misbehaved and we deserve punishment. But you know what? It's been 150 years since Yeshayahu's dark prophecies. And, you know, they're only going to be actualized long after we're dead. So we've got nothing to worry about. So God now addresses that attitude. Verse 26. Vayihi, the last three verses of this chapter. Vayihi devar Hashem alai lemor. God, the word of God came to me saying, says Yechezkel. Ben Adam, hinei beis Yisrael omrim hachazon asher choza liyomim rabim uleitim rechokos hu nivo. Says during the second group in Yerushalayim that say that the prophecy that he is prophesying is for many days into the future and far off times. He's prophesying for far off times. There's nothing for us to worry about. Says God, lochein omar aleihem. You tell them. My words will be drawn out no longer. Again, the same language. I will speak a word and it is done. It is accomplished. It is already taken place. Says God. So here we have a famous drasha here on these three psukim here from Rabbi. So it's basically exactly the same message, right? The decree is set in stone. You're a dead man walking. You just don't know it yet. And we have a tremendous drasha here from Rabbi Baruch Halevi Epstein, the son of the Aruch HaShulchan. He wrote a sefer called the Torah Tamima that covers most of Tanakh. And he basically here sums up the sentiment expressed in these verses by referencing a verse in Koheles. God's attitude, as described in Koheles, in the 8th chapter of Koheles, and a medrash that explains the pasuk. So there's a pasuk in Koheles. This is the Torah Tamima, the Sefer Torah Tamima of Rabbi Baruch Halevi Epstein on Koheles. And he quotes this pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles, and it says, "Ein Adam Shalit Beruach L'Cholo Esoruach." No man controls the will of God's messengers to control the spirit of life. In other words, you know, God speaks to His prophets, and no one can change that. A human being can't. The word of God is sacrosanct. It's action. It's already done. No human being can interfere with it. Ve'ein shilton b'yom ha'moves. And there's no human authority on the day of death, says Shlomo HaMelech. When the time comes to die, you can't say, no, I'm not ready. I want to apply for an extension. Ve'ein mishlachas b'milchomo. Neither is there an escape for war. When God decides there's going to be a war, That's it. And this is what concerns us, the last line of this verse. V'lo yimalek resha es ba'olov. And the perpetrator of wickedness can never escape his crimes. And this is what the Medrash here deals with this last statement of Shlomo HaMelech here. The last statement of Shlomo HaMelech in this verse is very, very powerful. V'lo yimalek resha es ba'olov. The perpetrator of wickedness can never escape his crimes. And the Medrash that's quoted here by Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein is very powerful. This is Koheles Rabbah on this pasuk. Regarding, so the Medrash says, regarding the words of Shlomo HaMelech, below Yemalek Reshas Ba'olov, the perpetrator of wickedness can never escape his crimes. Says the Medrash, Reb Chagai said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, the cynics of the first Beis Hamikdash generation, of the generation of the first temple, were muttering with their mouths, pointing with their fingers in mockery, whistling, jeering, taunting, and joking at the visions and words of the prophets, and were saying, Hechazon asher uchoza leyomim rabim uleitim rechokos unibo. That all these prophets are prophesying, but it's going to take place so long after our death that we don't have to worry about it. So they're whistling at the prophets. They're whistling at Yechezkel. They're whistling at Zephaniah. They're whistling at all at Yirmiah. This is the prophet. This is our verse here. Hechazon asher uchoza liyomim rabim. They're joking. They're mocking the prophets. They're mocking the prophecies. That's our verse. The Medrash says the prophet replied to them in God's name. In our verse here, Lo Timoshech, the last pasuk in this chapter, Lo Timoshech od kol devorai asher adaber dovo v'yeosa num Hashem Elokim. None of my words will be drawn out any longer. I speak, and it is done instantaneously, says God. Says Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein on this pasuk, on this medrash, on this pasuk in Yechezkel. He says, since the prophets prophesied up till now about distant dates, long into the future. And that's what they did. Yeshayahu was talking about times hundreds of years in the future. And so was Yirmiah, and so was Zephaniah, and so was Micha, and so was all the Hosea, all these prophets. Some people in Yerushalayim had reason to mock them, saying, you give these prophecies and none of them ever come true. But yeah, they could come true, but they're never going to come true now. The populace don't believe it. Most of these prophecies are probably hyperbole, exaggerations. Maybe they're false. And even if they're true, they're only going to come true long after our deaths. But since God has now spoken, says Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein, via Yechezkel, and told them that destruction will be immediate, says God is saying to them basically this, let's see if you'll be mocking the prophets when the Babylonians are walking through your front door. But alzeh nema, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech means, v'lo yimolek resha es ba'olov. Shlomo HaMelech says, the perpetrator of wickedness will never escape his crimes. Koloma, ato shuv lo simlatu min hara. This time, sure, Yishayahu's been dead over 100 years. Yeah, Amos is dead. Yeah, Yirmiah is not around. Yeah. All these prophets came and prophesied dark things, and they're all dead. But now's the time. At Oshuv lo similar to Minara. This time, you're not going to get away with your evil practices. It's all over. God has set it in motion, and it can't be reversed. Uchamasha kosav la'el, b'posav mokom hamishpot shoma harosha. And Shlomo HaMelech says earlier on in Koheles, Mokom HaMishpot Shoma HaRosha, in the place of justice, meaning in the dock, in the courtroom, there you will find the wickedness. you'll find the wicked one, the guilty, ready to be sentenced. And says Rav Halevi Epstein, God's saying here, yeah, you've been mocking and joking and, you know, complacent and believing the false prophets, believing the astrologers, thinking to yourselves either it's never going to happen, or if it does happen, it's going to be 150 years in the future when we'll all be dead. So you've been jeering, whistling, blowing raspberries at the prophets, but you're not going to be laughing for very much longer. Lo yamalet resha es ba'olof, says Shlomo HaMelech. The perpetrators of wickedness will never escape their crimes. And as he says, at oshuv lo samalak min hara, like, now, let's see how you're mocking and joking when the Babylonians are bursting through Yerushalayim, massacring everybody in their sight. So that is the end of chapter. That is the end of chapter 12. There is, because it's Rosh Hashanah next week, and I think next week we'll have a shiur, I've written an epilogue to chapter 12, which I'm going to give over to you next week, please God. Based on the Vilna Gaon on this chapter, and it fits in pretty well with the period of time we're in now, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is why I'm going to give it over next week. It's an epilogue to chapter 12. I don't normally give over my own chidushim. I'm very loath to do so. I'd rather, what I normally do with my own chidushim is I normally write them down and put them away somewhere and just leave them in the drawer. Reb Chaim Brisker once said that not everything you should you speak, and not everything you speak should you write, and not everything you write should you publish. So I'm very wary of that. So I've got drawers and drawers full of things that I've written without ever publishing them or giving them over in Shirim. I prefer to leave it to the Abarbanel and to the Malbim and to the Vilna Gaon or whatever. But I did, based on this chapter 12, I have written a piece, which I'll say over to you next week, an epilogue to chapter 13. And then, please God, we'll move on. Please God, with chapter 12, sorry. And then we'll move on, please God, with chapter 13, maybe next week if we get through this epilogue in time. I hope to, because it's all about Rosh Hashanah and about this chapter and about people making fun of the idea that, you know, it's never going to happen. Right? We all have this idea. So 20, when you're 20 years old, so you're never going to die, right? You're indestructible. But when you're 62, right, and like me, and, you know, Larry Lowenthal will tell you, we're walking back from shul on Pesach one night, and, you know, you get a timely reminder that you're mortal, right, Larry?
Correct.
Yeah, you get a timely reminder. So you're not 20 anymore. You're not indestructible anymore. So you're not making fun of the fact that you're going to live forever. It's not a joke anymore. This is a realization. So this is one of the major talking points of this chapter. And I just want to incorporate it into something that Yecheskel said here, and something that Vilna Gaon said about how we, about the complacency of human beings. Anyway, that's all next week. But in the meantime, if anybody's got any questions, now's the time, even though we're up to date, we finished chapter 12. There shouldn't be very many questions. God's very irate here, as you can hear. Like, it's God's agitated by the mockery that's going on. But if there's such a thing as God being agitated, which I don't think there is. But nevertheless, if no one's got any questions, we'll call it a day. And next week, we'll go through this epilogue and have a thought or two about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah based on chapter 12 of Yecheskel. And then we'll move on to chapter 13. In the meantime, Azai Gezint, you shouldn't go skint. And right, Harvey? Azai Gezint, you shouldn't go skint. Right, Harv? Harvey's not saying anything.
He's muted.
Okay. Cult up to
yes,
everybody.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Zayn mit Glick.
Zayn mit Glick.
Don't
right.
take the stick.
Yeah. Have a great week, Shavua Tov, Gita Vach, and we'll see you same time, same place, in health and happiness, please God, next Monday, same time. Kol Tov to everybody.
Thank you.
Amen.